Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. We're glad you've tuned in. Thank you for choosing us for your spiritual nourishment. We've been talking about self-control. Don't turn us off. Self-control is a big deal. When we really get to understanding it, it just really, really helps us. Because without it, we're not going to become who God put us here to be. And it's not something you just muster up. I'm gonna discipline myself and I'm gonna do this. It's out of your relationship with God as you are finding yourself. And what used to control you, sin, no longer will control you. You will control it over your life. And it won't have its devastating effects on you like it was. And that's what we're gonna talk about today. That's what self-control is really about. It's not about, well, I'm going to work out this morning. I'm going to do it. Grit your teeth. No. It's, I'm going to do what's best for my health today. And I know God wants me to stay healthy so I can keep doing His will. So I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to do what I have to do so I can keep being what God put me here on earth to be. Healthy, right? Or that's what it is. He wants you to stay on mission, right? Remember, remission, submission, commission. There's no commission without the submission. If you're not willing to submit to God and His will and His ways, you can't be on mission for Him. You can act like you are and you can think you are. You can go to church every day of your life. But if you're not submitting to your spouse or to others in a church, you can't do the will of God. Just saying. That's the way God's designed us. And this is what we have to understand. So, remission, submission, commission. Commission means Jesus is helping you with the Great Commission. Remember? I go to work. I got an angry boss. He's upset all the time. He's meaner than spit. I'm there to give him grace and mercy and help him see Christ in me. You see that? That's what commission's all about. I'd rather take him around back and give him what for, but no, I'm on mission. You see that? I'm on mission and I'm obeying Jesus and how He would have me respond. Love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Amen. You can't do that without being on mission with Jesus. You know why you're supposed to do that? Because their sins haven't even been judged yet. That person that's on your back the most, they're not saved. If they're not saved, their sins haven't been judged yet. Yours have. You're here to help them get into the kingdom. Doesn't that make sense? We've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. The word glory means what God originated and intended. Your sins have been dealt with, past, present, future. Now you're here to help others deal with their sin. And when you understand why you're here, boy, it makes life good. You see that? Boy, you start enjoying life. Am I making sense? It starts to make sense. You put the dots together. Why, I'm bringing that, I'm all mad and upset. I'm coming home and telling my family all this mess about work when really, I should be glad. You see, when you start seeing it God's way, it changes everything. Your perspective changes. Amen. You don't gossip. You don't You're not going to hop in bed with just anybody. Because outside of marriage, that's not a healthy thing. You change. God changes your want to. I like what Bertie says. What you up to, Bertie? What I want to? She said, God just changed my want to. Amen. That's the truth. You do what you want to do. Because you want to do God's will now. Because you know what it's doing for you. You got to keep it flowing, right? Got to keep it coming in and going out. Remember? Because if you get bitter and angry and resentful, that stops the flow. And it hurts you. No one else. See that? You got to keep that flow going. Remember we talked about, I'm Pastor X-Lax. I'm here to help it flow. Spiritually. Amen. Am I making sense?
Hallelujah.
That's what they called me. I was doing this years ago. I've been teaching this a while. And they said, we're going to call you Pastor X-Lax. You go on with your bad self. We'll just keep it flowing. You keep the love of God flowing, and that mess don't get contaminated and stop you up and start destroying your life. Am I making sense? We need the Holy Spirit to keep us moving, because the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in your hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. We went to a movie on Friday. Did I tell you that? Friday, we went and seen that movie, After Death. And I really was intrigued with the way they talked about the love of God in heaven. It was just so overwhelming, they said. And then they came back, and it just changed the way they treat people. And one guy went to hell, and he gave the description of that. And he was bitter towards his father. He had unforgiveness towards him. And he came back and it shared how that changed his life. I'm telling you, it's powerful. You need to go see that. It's good stuff. This is real. We need to understand these things. And as you grow, you start to understand them. That Bible is reading your mail.
Amen.
And mine. Amen. So we gotta grow an understanding. And you know, if anybody tries to tell you the Bible is not true, you just need to say, we'll talk to you later. Because that word of God is alive. And it will help you to become you.
Amen.
And that's what God's going to use it for. And that's what he's using for now. So remember in Romans 5:17, it says that we've been given the free gift of righteousness that we can reign in life. Why? Because sin was reigning in our life before we got saved. If you're here and you're not born again, you need to be born again to participate in reigning in life. If you're going to reign in life, you need to be born again. And you need to invite Christ in your heart and begin to let him be Lord in your life and get yourself in a Bible-believing church. And that's going to help you reign in life. God wants you to reign over sin. He doesn't want it reigning over you. It talks about, in Romans chapter 3, it says, we've all sinned. And we all fall short of the glory of God. The word glory means what God originated and intended. What's keeping you from becoming what God originated and intended? Sin. You see that? That's why God wants you to rule over it. Because he wants you to be the best you can be. He's here to help you become you. He's not going to help you become something that's not you. He's not going to help you become something you want to be. He wants to help you to become who you are, who you're supposed to be. He's only going to help you be you. And that's good news, because that's what we need. Amen? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We've been on this from the beginning of the year. So now we're talking about self-control. Self-control and that's really how we reign in life, is we have self-control. So, how do you define success? When you have success, you have it in one area of your life. You've overachieved in one area. That's success. But a lot of people think success is having a lot of money, having a big house. I'm successful now. I've arrived. No. You can have a big house and you can have a lot of money and be very broke spiritually and poor emotionally. You can have a ton of money and be destroying others with your emotional poverty and your spiritual ignorance. You see that? We don't want to be ignorant spiritually. Because it says when you're ignorant, the devil can come in and deceive you. It says don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. That's what he's talking about, being spiritually ignorant. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. So we don't want to be destroyed because we don't understand. We can understand who we are. Isaiah 33:6 says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. Wisdom, that's the prophet Isaiah. Every prophecy he's prophesied has come to pass. Every one of them. He's talking about the times you're in right now. We need his wisdom and we need his knowledge to be stable and secure in this life. Because I'm telling you, everything around you is falling apart. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to fall apart like a $2 suitcase. Are you with me? You don't have to. When you know who you are, you're going to be all right. God didn't put you here to fall apart. He put you here to make you whole. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be you. Success is not having a lot of money. Success is discovering who you are. That's what true success is. See, when you don't understand who you are, you'll keep doing things that are keeping you from becoming who you are. Patterns in your life, sin, iniquities, just keep doing things that keep holding you back from what God's calling you to. See, God's calling is his word calling you to be you. You can't get your life right if you get your calling wrong. So we have to understand what God is calling us to. So, the more you increase influence in your life, the more haters you're going to have. Are you with me? And you know, once in a while, they'll show out there on Facebook and, you know, out there on the, they're trolling out there and trying to get somebody to agree with them and go along with them. Has anybody seen that? It's okay, right? Let them troll. Let them do what they got to do. You just keep being you. And that's what God's want. That's what God is looking for. See, a lot of times they'll show you something, the best part of themselves, their open self, right? They're not showing you that hidden self, are they? Or that blind self. They'll show you all the good things. And that's really a misinterpretation of what's really going on. Right? We're going to have to look inside ourselves in that hidden self and begin to seek God and get his wisdom and knowledge to be stable for our salvation in this hour that we're living in. Like Isaiah said, Isaiah 33:6, look it up. So now, I like what I was going over some of my notes from years ago, and I came across this quote from Socrates. I like him. He said this, whoever fails to look within will always go without. So we all have some emotional things we have to deal with. And we have to get some help on. I need help. You need help. Look at the person next to you and say, you need you some help. You need help. And I know you're all looking at me. I know he needs help. That's right. I need all the help I can get. Donnie said, sign me up. She's my helper, that's for sure. All right. We need each other. That's what the church is all about. You can help people. I can help people. We help each other. You've been through things that I haven't been through. I've been through things you haven't been through. And we can really help each other. This creates an atmosphere of God's will taking place in your life. Fulfillment. Fulfillment in life. If we don't know who we are and we don't define ourselves and align our relationships up with the right people, we will have invested our lives in the wrong people. If we don't know who we are and define ourselves of who we really are, and the people around us, and align our relationships with who we are and who God is, you will wake up having invested your life in those who don't mean much to you. You want to invest your life in those who matter the most to you. Are you with me? That's why I'm going this month on a trip with my son and my grandson. We're going camping in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Not camping, we're going to stay in a cabin this year. But you know, it's just quiet. And you just hang out and you get to know things about people. You get to know when you don't have a cell phone and all those distractions. I love it. And you can put stuff in each other and make you some real memories. That's important. All right, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, self-control. Look what he says here. We talk about this a lot on Wednesday nights because this is our election. And we need to know our election. Because really, you are here on a campaign for Christ. You're a citizen of God's kingdom of heaven. When you're saved, you're a citizen of heaven. So you're here sent by God to do His will.
Hallelujah.
And this is going to prove it. Now, this is significant. This starts to make life make sense. It removes the confusion.
Right.
You weren't created to be full of anxiety and worry.
Nope.
And fear. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that amazing? When I got that, I thought, my goodness, I know that's true. Look what he says, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Before you showed up on the planet, God set you apart for His will. That's what sanctified means. And if you do the etymology on the word sanctified, it's the betrothal period before a king got married. And when a king gets married, his fiance, she has to change all of her habits. The way she eats, the way she dresses, the way she speaks, the people she hangs around with, the people that she gets connected with. She has to change all that. And a lot of times, they'd say, oh, he's not worth all that. And they would say, I'm not marrying the king. But the ones who stayed in the sanctification process ended up marrying the king. When they married the king, they got everything the king had. The king is coming.
Yes.
Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Are you with me? We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. That's you and I. That's what He's doing right now. He's purifying us to do the work He created us for, so others can get in and we can populate heaven.
Yep.
Are you with me? Now look at this. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet. Now He ordained you. That word ordained means authority. He's given you authority. He's given me authority. Authority for what? Authority to rule over what was ruling over me. You see that? What was ruling over me? Not ruling over people. You see, when you're ignorant of this, that's what you do. You try to control people. When you're ignorant of this, you'll try to control people. You're needy. You're needy. Well, you could have called me. Why didn't you call me? You know, where were you? Always trying to, what you doing? Always were every needy. It's because they don't know who they are. You see that? When you know who you are, you're not needy, because God's meeting your needs. You hearing me? And you're secure in who you are. And in a relationship, it just gets healthier and healthier. You're not jealous. You're not looking over your shoulder all the time, because you're secure. Am I making sense? Remember, comparison is rooted in jealousy. And we don't want to compare ourselves with other people, right? Are you with me? That's important. You know, I told you my grandmother, when I was 5, I remember peeking in on her and my grandpa. And my grandpa walked out of the kitchen. She was making biscuits in the kitchen. And he walked out of his bedroom into the kitchen. I was just kind of had one eye watching him. And she turned around. He bumped her on the shoulder, and she turned around. And then he pinched her on the behind. And then he gave her a big hug. And they kissed in the kitchen. I mean, I remember it. It was like love. Real love. I never forgot it. And I think about my grandmother every day. Every day. She had influence and impact in my life. That's what love does. There is something about real affection. If you're not doing it, start. I'm just telling you. I ordained you a prophet. He wants you to have authority over what used to control you. And you know what? In other words, he's calling you, but it isn't just for you to be in the church, have a position in the church. It's if you, maybe you're a mailman. He wants you to be the best mailman you can be. He wants you to be out there with authority on being a mailman, on being an engineer, being a nurse, being whatever you know and you believe that God has you here for. It's not just being in the church. He gave some to be apostles, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, some to be evangelists, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You see that? We all have a calling, and God is calling you. Every one of us, wherever you are, he wants you on mission, reflecting Christ, demonstrating Christ. Are you with me? Now look at this. Give me the next one. Verse 6. Isn't that something, though? All that he knew before you even showed up on the planet. Man, that's important to understand that. Now look what he said. Then said I, O Lord God, behold. Now this is Jeremiah talking back to God. He says, then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. God didn't ask him how old he was. God said nothing about how old he was. See, that's what we do. We come up with these excuses why we can't do what God is calling us to. You see this? I cannot speak. He didn't say anything about a youth or speaking about anything yet. For I am a youth. Now look at the next one. But the Lord said to me, do not say. You know what he's saying? Don't say that. Don't say you're a youth. Don't say you can't speak. He's saying don't speak your limitations. Don't talk about your limitations. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Don't talk about your limitations. Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. You see that? So when you're at your job next week, and you pray before you go, you'd have a talk with the Lord before you go in there, God's going to use you. Right there where you're at. He's going to help you to say something that's going to help them, make them think about Jesus. You don't have to beat them over the head with anything. You just maybe give them a different way to think. Am I making sense? Now look at this. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Then he says, do not be afraid of their faces. Why is he saying that? I'm going to tell you something. When you start becoming you, people are going to look at you different. People's faces are going to change. People in your family are going to say, who do you think you are? I remember when I got saved and everything, I just like, man, I'm all in. Well, what are you going to that church for all the time? What do you think you so muchy much? No, I'm just trying to steward my life in a healthy way and become who God put me on this earth to be. So we can't get caught up in what people think or say. See, that was the problem with Jeremiah. He was comparing himself with others. When he said, I can't speak, he knew other prophets. He knew other. He said, I can't do that. He's comparing himself. Make sense? Now look, he says, do not be afraid. You know what the problem is there? Now he's afraid. He's obsessed with other people's opinions. That's why God said that to him. I don't care what you guys, you can make your faces all you want to today. You think it's going to stop me? Mm-mm. You see this? So we can't be afraid of what people think and be obsessed with what they think. Because when you are obsessed with their opinions about you, you know what that is? That's the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. It will trap you. And you'll be stuck all your life if you have that. It will trap you. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be safe, secure. I want to be secure. How about you? I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to keep moving. Is it easy? Nothing easy about it. But he says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you. Now look, to deliver you. The word deliver means save. I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you so you can be you. Don't you like that? I'm going to save you so you can be you. This is good stuff right here. Now look, says the Lord, God allows difficulty, pain, problems, because he's trying to show you a you don't know anything about.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.